Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father.
Come and sing with me.
To Jesus, the Son. And give him the glory, great things he has done. And give him the glory, great things he has done.
Come on in.
And give him the glory, great things he has done.
The Lord has done great things in our life, therefore we rejoice. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We have been studying Psalm chapter 23 because it's not enough for us to just recite statements from the Bible without having a deep understanding of what those statements mean. And so I took it upon myself to begin to elucidate on the importance and the meaning of the words that are written in Psalm chapter 23, verse by verse. At the beginning, we looked at the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we discovered who a shepherd is. We discover what it means to want. We also discover why we cannot want. Why? Because we are the sheep of his pastures. Hallelujah. The Bible declares that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. In other words, the world and those who live in it are God's pastures. Praise God. And we feed on the world and those who dwell in it. In other words, everything that happens on this earth belongs to us. We feed on it freely. Every man, every woman, every manager, every director, everyone that you have to meet to be able to exercise some business transaction is the Lord's and is a pasture. Are you following me this morning?
Yes.
It belongs to the Lord. If you are seeking a contract, the managing director in that company is God's pasture. And so God says to you, when you go to him in my name, you shall not want. Hallelujah. Then we looked at verse 2. It says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Hallelujah. He makes me lie down, what? In green pastures. Hallelujah. Today we are looking at verse 3. What did verse 3 says? It says, he restores my soul. He leadeth me in paths, not path, in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now that verse is broken into two. Part A says, what does it say in part A? He restores my soul. In other words, our shepherd is a restorer of soul. Hallelujah. How? What does it mean to restore my soul? It means to refresh and to restore our life. Hallelujah. It means to renew our strength. Bible says that he renews our strength like the eagles. Hallelujah. In Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17, God promised us a life of restoration. He said, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this Zion
whom no man seeketh after. Hallelujah. So you see that God is a restorer. Hallelujah.
Now let me explain it this way. You know, let me begin to explain this in a way that you will understand it.
God speaks to us in allegories. God speaks to us in what? Allegories. What is an allegory? You students of mass communication must understand what an allegory means. It simply means a symbolic representation which can be interpreted to reveal a hidden meaning. What does it mean? A symbolic representation which can be interpreted to reveal a hidden meaning, usually a moral or political one. Praise God. So God speaks to us in allegories in the scriptures. And only when we dig deep into the scripture can we find the true meaning of what God is saying. Hallelujah. So when God took the word sheep and made us and called us sheep, a sheep is a timid, shy animal that is led, that must be led by people. In other words, a sheep must be led. A sheep does not lead itself. A sheep needs a leader. A goat does not need a leader. And in this allegory, a goat is symbolically, in the spiritual matters, a stubborn person. Hallelujah. An unteachable spirit. But a sheep is usually fat. Fat means faithful, available, and teachable. Fat means what? Faithful, available, and teachable. So a sheep must be fat. A sheep is created to be fat. F-A-T, faithful, available, and teachable. Hardly will you find a sheep go astray, but sometimes they go astray, especially when they are younger. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So, as we examine this today, I need for you to understand that at times, as sheep, we stray from the shepherd. We go away from the shepherd, either because of challenges that we face in life or things that are happening to us. It can be emotional disturbance. It can be loss of a loved one. It can be loss of a job. It can be that you were disappointed by a minister of God or a senior Christian or a Christian person in your family. And therefore you say you don't want to follow anymore. And then you begin to do your own thing out of annoyance. It's actually a retaliatory spirit. You find yourself trying to retaliate the hurt that was done to you. Am I communicating to you? And so we react. And so as sheep, we can stray away from the presence of God on account of the offense that we experience. Hallelujah. But God is a great God. The second part of the scripture that we are looking at today is He restores. The second part that we are looking at today. Let me take Matthew chapter 12, verse 9, before I go to the second part that we're looking at today. Matthew chapter 12, verse 9. Are you there? Matthew chapter 12, verse 9. If you are there, praise God. This is the story of a man whose hands were withered.
in the synagogue on a Sabbath day. The law says you must not do any hard work on Sabbath. So the Jews took the law beyond what the law defines and began to say that you must not lift your hand, you must not lift your finger. In fact, I remember that when I went to Israel on the Sabbath day, not even to cook. Not even to cook. They will not cook.
They eat.
They
won't want any
food. They will not.
They won't start fire.
They won't do anything. They won't even put it in the woman. They will just eat what they have. What kind of punishment is that? Is that what God told them? No. They took it beyond the understanding. That is the same way when you see some religion that encourages the killing and the murder of people. If you read that, their book, you will discover that they are doing it beyond the recommendation of what the book told them. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
But in this place, and I want you to see how God restores our lives. In verse 9, he said, "And when he had departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on Sabbath days, that they may accuse him?" The purpose was to accuse him. "And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out?" Now let me tell you the hypocrisy of the Jews. With all this thing that you're talking about, if their sheep falls into a ditch on a Sabbath day, they will bring him out. Is that not job? Eh? They will bring him out of that pit. That's the hypocrisy. That's what law does. Law is contradictory. You contradict yourself every time when you leverage on the law. Yesterday, I wrote on my Facebook page that it is maturity to note that in the body of Christ, there are, blameworthy situations. But that it takes only a matured Christian to pray for God to correct the situation. A baby Christian will be grandstanding with it, as if he's holier than any other person. Are you following what I'm saying? And the Bible says, Jesus said, remove the peck, the lump in your eye, before you want to remove the peck from your brother's eyes. So you see what law does? The law says, go and remove the peck. Tell him that he's dirty, he's not looking well. Meanwhile, he himself is smelling. Did you see the point? Hallelujah. That's the hypocrisy of the law. Hallelujah. Now, in verse 12, he said, "How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day." Now, he didn't say it is lawful to walk on the Sabbath day. He didn't say it is lawful to heal on the Sabbath day. He said it is lawful to do well, to do the right thing on the Sabbath day. To pull out the sheep that fell into the ditch is a good thing to do on the Sabbath day. Even so, it's a good thing to heal that man on the Sabbath day. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
The Bible said, "Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other day." The Lord will restore every broken and withered part of your life today.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every part of your life that has withered, today the restoration power comes upon it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Of course, when it was restored, the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, that they might destroy him. Every time God does a wonder in your life, if a Christian had gone astray, and then nobody knew that he has gone to God to appeal his case using the instrumentality of the blood that was shed on Calvary, and he settles his case with his father, people are still judging him by the things he did yesterday, yet God is no longer judging him. People, when God restores people, enemies, and those who do not understand still hold the person in unforgiveness. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So we have to be very careful. We have to be absolutely what?
Careful.
Hallelujah. So that our acts will not bring judgment to us. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So I said sometimes we stray away from God, from the Lord, too. We find ourselves in need of God's forgiveness and restoration. And God offers this restoration very freely. There's no amount of straying that you can stray from God that God cannot reach you. That God that makes it impossible for God to restore you. Except when you call Jesus an anathema. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Except when you curse Jesus. Except when you have known Jesus and then turn and say Jesus is no longer the Lord. The Bible said there is no repentance from that. You cannot come back from it. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That's why I am sorry for those Christians who, after they have known the truth, then they departed from the faith. In my mother's language, they say, Ibn Anwenu, Ibn Anwani, Ibn Osu. It means you are not an animal in the air. You are not an animal on the ground. What are you? Are you a bat? Praise God. Hardly will you find the bat flying up and down during the day. It perches and you will not find it on the ground except it dies. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So there is no place. There's nothing that you do that God cannot forgive once you go back to Jesus. Except when you have known Jesus and now say that Jesus is no longer the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
There's grace
for us. God, Jesus said, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God is the restorer of our hope. God is the restorer of our faith. God is the restorer of anything that we have that we lost. Praise the Lord.
The second part says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And I want you to look at this. Amplify says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with him, not for my any need, but for his own sake. Did you see that? It is not because you earn it that God leads you in the path of righteousness. God leads you in the path of righteousness. God is committed to lead you in the path of righteousness because he wants to maintain a relationship with you. It is for him so that the unbelievers will not begin to laugh and jeer at God that he could not keep us. Hallelujah. You remember in John chapter 6, Jesus was talking to the Jews. He said to them that there was a purpose for which God brought him to this world. He said the purpose was for him to keep everyone that God led to him and to ensure that he presented them at the throne of mercy on the last day. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And when I was teaching you the tabernacle of Moses as the roadmap for our worship in the New Generation Church, I said to you that the church in transition is moving is moving around, and that the cherubs were watching over the blood, because if they lifted their eyes from the blood, they will destroy every sinner. Praise God. They will destroy sin and the sinner. But because their eyes were permanently on the blood, it became difficult for them to lift up their eyes to do any destruction any around them. Are you following the picture now?
Yes,
hallelujah.
Sir.
So, this is it. God is going to any length to lead you in the path of righteousness.
Amen.
Because of his mercy. Every path that you take, every path that you take, God leads you. For his name's sake. Not for your sake. for his name's sake.
The Lord promises to lead us in paths of righteousness. In keeping with everything his name represents. His name represents holiness. His name represents law. His name represents faithfulness. His name represents wisdom and many more. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
His name represents so many things. And because his name represents those things, God is committed to leading us in the path of righteousness. Praise God. He's committed to do what? Leading us in the path of righteousness. Why? Because God's name represents holiness. To be holy is not to do anything wickedly. So God is committed to keeping you in the path of righteousness. Because if he does not keep you, it will amount to wickedness. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
If he does not keep you, it will amount to retaliation. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So God is holy, and he cannot function in such, mundane situation, mundane lifestyle.
Hallelujah.
Praise
God. God represents love. And so God cannot function in hate. So God goes out of his way to lead you in the paths of righteousness. He goes out of his way to do what? To lead you in the paths of righteousness. Hallelujah. God's name represents faithfulness. God is a faithful God. God is a faithful God. He is faithful. To be faithful is to be eternally committed to an object of worship or to something that you love. I say, I am committed to my wife, and if I do not commit adultery, I'm saying it is said that I am faithful to her. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Are you following what I'm trying to say this morning?
Yes.
To be faithful is to be attached to something without detachment. Did you get the picture? I'm using words that will help to understand it. Unconditionally can be big, a word. I'm saying God attaches himself, like the clothes that you're wearing is attached to your body. No matter how hot you are on the outside, the clothes is not going to go off your body. That's the way God is attached to you. Bible says that God is clothed with honor and with majesty. In the same way God clothes himself and clothes you with honor and majesty. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Are you following me this morning?
Yes.
Hallelujah. God represents wisdom. It is wisdom for God to have people in eternity. Don't you think so? It is wisdom for God to have people in eternity. So if God judges everybody in the world, he will have to destroy us like he destroyed the first world. And he will have nobody in eternity. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Because the angels were not created after his image. Only man was created after God's image. Did you get the picture?
Yes, sir.
And so he desires fellowship with man in eternity. Because he does not fellowship with angels. Angels worship him. Angels are service people. They are servants. They are ministering angels. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
In Genesis chapter 28, verse 15, God says, "And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again," where? "To this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of thee." Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
In Isaiah chapter 55, he says that as water come down from the heavens and waters the ground, and so that the ground is watered and bought seed, so that it can give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Are you following me this morning?
Yes.
Am I making sense to you?
Yes.
So God is committed to leading you to the path of righteousness. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6. God says, "I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles." Hallelujah. First, he said, he called us in what? In righteousness. Then he said, I will hold you with hands. In other words, he's holding you to lead you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He said, even in leading you, he said, he will keep you safe from attack.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And then he said, to give you a covenant. In other words, to establish you as the signature or the signpost of the covenant of God with you before the people. That's why that scripture says that when God turns the captivity of Zion, they were like them that dream. He said, and the people said, the Lord has been good to you. So God wants the testimony of people to validate his Godhead. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you following what I'm trying to say this morning?
Yes, sir.
We have been looking at verse 3 of Proverbs chapter 23. He restores my soul. Psalm chapter 23. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. God is leading you in the path of righteousness, not for your sake, not because of what you have done, not because of the good you have done. It is because of his magnanimity. It is because he has a name to protect. It is because he is wise. It is because he is love. It is because he is faithful. It is because he is holy. Hallelujah. And he cannot fail himself. Every word that comes out of the mouth of God shall not fall to the ground unfulfilled. Hallelujah. Bible said that the heaven and earth shall pass away, but not a jot of his word shall pass away. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. So this morning I want you to understand it, that God loves you so much. He restores your soul. He restores your health. He restores your sight. He restores your strength. He restores your business. He restores your fellowship. He restores your friendship. He restores your marriage. He restores your relationship. He makes things work for you. Hallelujah. Then he leads you in the path of righteousness. Not path, but paths of righteousness. Every path that leads to righteousness. Every path that makes you happy so that God can take the glory. He says he does it for his own sake. So it is for God to take the glory that God leads you on the path of righteousness. Hallelujah.
Praise
the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you this morning.
Thank you, Lord.
We give you praise.
Hallelujah.
We give you honor. Adoration. Thank you for your word. Thank you for bringing this great word this morning to help your people to grow, to help your people to understand when they pray that they are not just praying, that when God says that he restores our soul, he means that he restores our soul. Because he had promised it before and he has fulfilled it now by the resurrection of Christ on Calvary. Therefore, we can trust in him that whatever we ask, he is able to give unto us. For if he can sacrifice his first begotten of the many brethren just to restore us, how will he not much more give unto us whatsoever we desire according to his will? Hallelujah. So God is a God of restoration. When Jesus rose from the dead, God restores humanity to a life of eternity with him. Father, we are so grateful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for leading us on the path of righteousness so that your holiness, your love, your faith, your wisdom will be maintained. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your loving kindness. We are grateful because you lead us on the path of righteousness, away from sin, away from iniquity. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, dear Lord. Everyone that is listening to me this morning, I declare to you not to despair, because God is leading you in the path of righteousness. It may look tough now. It may look confusing now. But God is leading you in the path of righteousness. I hear a lady who has not been married for several years and has failed relationships in and out every time. The Lord wants me to tell you that he will meet you at the point of your need.
Amen.
That he is the one leading you out of faulty relationships.
Amen.
That those relationships were going to destroy you, but he is leading you in the paths of righteousness.
Hallelujah.
This month, as you hear me, God will lead you to the right path.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I hear somebody who has been struggling for business to succeed and is not succeeding. Hear me. God has maintained a course with you. Maintain that course. Maintain that course. Do not do anything wrong. Maintain the course of righteousness, purity. God is about to promote you beyond your imagination. Within this month, God will do something great. The word of God has no distance. It has no past, has no present. The word of God is Jesus. The same yesterday, today, and forever. So even if it is not on the day that I spoke this, or the month that I spoke this, that you are hearing this, I speak to you today that the word of God is constant. And it is speaking to you now that in the month in which you are hearing this, a newness will befall you.
Amen.
There will be a restoration of your business life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Doors will be open to you.
Amen.
Because God is the one leading you.
Amen.
And guiding you through all the pitfalls. And so that you do not dash your foot against a stone. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
I speak to you who is in ministry. And the ministry seems not to grow. But you have stuck to the path of righteousness. The Lord said to tell you that he is training you and leading you so that you can become his signposts to many in the new generation. Do not despair. It is not the number of people in your church that makes you successful. It is the number of people that you are taking with you to eternity that makes you successful. And so, be encouraged and continue to do what you are doing, for God is on your side. Thank you, our Father. We bless you this morning. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying.
Amen.